Gomes leads from second. Here's a ground ball up the middle. Very tough play by Cano into center field. That'll score Gomes. RBI single for the leadoff man of the Blue Jays, Kelly Johnson, who's now 2-for-2 as he stands at first base, and the Blue Jays take a 2-0 lead here in the third inning.
And the Blue Jays would stretch that lead to 3-0 on an RBI single by Colby Rasmus in the fourth and hold on to a 4-3 win over the New York Yankees. Yanks get a couple in the bottom of the ninth, but Aaron Loop, the side-arming young minor league lefty, shuts it down. Blue Jays improve to 24-1 on the spring with their 4-3 win over the New York Yankees. More importantly, Kyle Drabek, 5 shutout innings, walks 2, strikes out 5, a perfect inning for Casey Jansen, a solid inning for Sergio Santos with a walk and a strikeout in there. Kelly Johnson, as you just heard from Alan Ashby, 2 hits against CC Sabathia. Brett Laurie, 2-for-3 with a double and a triple, and should have had a single, but Derek Jeter robbed him with a nice stretch of a catch of a line drive to end the sixth inning. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk, and we're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will be on along the Blue Jays radio network until the bottom of the hour on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, until 11 o'clock tonight. We'll take a few dips into the Blue Jays clubhouse as well, mixed in with your fine phone calls. And again, those numbers, since it's been a long winter, 416-870-0590, *590, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's get in on the conversation. We have yet to have a good long Jays talk, which we have for you tonight in the wake of the Blue Jays 4-3 win over the New York Yankees. And let's get right to the phones. We'll go out to Guelph. Flip, you're going to lead things off.
How are you, Mr. Wilner?
I am fantastic. It is spring. It is beautiful. And the Blue Jays can't lose. What could be better?
What can be better? Well, I just wanted to call in and say, long-time listener, first-time caller, enjoy the Jays talk. Really excited for this young team. Really like the way we got the offense coming together. I like the way our lineup shapes up, especially 1 through 5. I just wanted to call and ask you, what are your thoughts about how do you think the back end of our rotation is shaping up? I think that we're pretty set up at 1 and 2 with Ricky and Brandon Morrow. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on Drabek and Laffey and McGowan and the guys who are going to round out our starting five. And thanks a lot. Go Jays, go.
All right, thanks for the call. I would not expect Aaron Laffey to be one of the guys to round out the Blue Jays' top five, but we shall see as the spring continues. He's going to get another start. I'm really inclined to say that you can put Henderson Alvarez in that group with Romero and Morrow. I'm fighting the urge every day to believe that Henderson Alvarez is ready to be a legitimate middle-of-the-rotation starter and contributor, but every time I see him pitch, I think, why not? The guy throws strikes. He throws mid-90s with his fastball. He has a devastating changeup. And whether or not the slider is fantastic doesn't really matter when you've got that combination of pitches and you throw strikes. It seems to me that the odds should be really, really high for Henderson Alvarez to succeed. But then, you know, how many 21, 22-year-old starting pitchers have really had that kind of success? So I'm trying to kind of stay realistic about him, but he has looked so good. And I think on Thursday, I'm going to watch him pitch 6 innings in a minor league game while Drew Hutchison gets a start in Fort Myers against the Boston Red Sox. So Romero, Morrow, Alvarez, and then you have the bottom of the rotation. And really, I think that's what this team really hinges on, because you're right, there's depth in the lineup. Today, Colby Rasmus was hitting 9th, which is crazy. I know everybody hates Colby Rasmus, but there's really no reason to. He's a very good baseball player, and to have him as your 9th hitter, and J.P. Arencibia hitting 25 or 30 home runs out of the 8th spot in the lineup, that's a really, really deep lineup. So the offense is quite impressive. The bullpen is phenomenal, and it really does hinge on the bottom of the starting rotation. Can Alvarez be that good, and what happens behind him? And behind him is Brett Cecil, Dustin McGowan, and Kyle Drabek. And Drabek looked very good tonight, pitching out of trouble a whole bunch of times. That's what you're looking for from Kyle Drabek. Can he slow the game down? Does he let things get away from him? And tonight, he did not do that. And he hasn't all spring. And I think Drabek's going to make this team because I have a really hard time believing that Dustin McGowan's going to be able to answer the bell. He's hopeful of throwing on flat ground tomorrow or Thursday, and it's going to be almost impossible for him to be able to be in shape and ready to start in the major leagues on April 11th after, you know, having a week or so off a mound. So I do believe Kyle Drabek's going to make this team as the fifth starter. I think Brett Cecil's going to make this team as a fourth starter, but Cecil's going to have a short leash, just like he did last year. That's the key for the Blue Jays this year, is how good can that bottom of the rotation be? And we know that both Drabek and McGowan have ace stuff. They do. McGowan with a fastball in the high 90s, with a great slider, Drabek with a fastball in the high 90s, and a killer curveball. We saw that a couple of times today. I said this on the weekend. I think I'm going to say it a whole bunch of times throughout the course of the next few months. If Henderson Alvarez, Dustin McGowan, Kyle Drabek, and Brett Cecil, if three of those guys are strong this year for the Blue Jays, they will win the AL East. Mark is in Georgian Bay. Mark, you're on the Jays Talk.
Thank you for taking my call. I love the way you guys call games. You make it exciting to listen to.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Thank you. A lot of people say, oh, it means nothing to win all these games in spring training. And in reality, it doesn't mean anything in one sense. But on the other sense, it's breeding an attitude of winning throughout the organization, and they can take that. It'll go far, I believe, right throughout the organization. You know, the confidence. They have a extremely well-hitting club, and I think we're going to even hit better than we hit last year. And as you say, the pitching is outstanding. Brett Cecil, you know, his velocity's not there, but it looks like maybe Kyle Drabek, if he falters, might be able to step right into that spot. And with all the kids coming up, it's a great time to be a Blue Jay.
It really is a great time to be a Blue Jay, and it's a great time to be a fan of the Blue Jays, I think. This is a team that, you know, without question, is on the upswing, is moving in the right direction, and we're really seeing that talent level that everybody's been talking about for the last couple of years. We're seeing those strong, strong kids, you know, in the system.
A lot of people were complaining through the winter that they didn't go out and spend oodles and oodles and oodles of money, but I'm really happy they didn't, because I think it would have taken away from, you know, some of the depth that we have right now. It would have, in a way, roundabout way, it was the wrong time, and I think it would have been more of a distraction. Really?
Well, I don't know if it would have been a distraction. I think they would have been happy to have you, Darvish, and Prince Fielder around here. But when you look at the money, and when you look at where this team is, you know, I would have loved to have seen them take a shot at Darvish. I thought Fielder, no chance with that contract. Was that a good move here in Toronto? But it's funny that people really haven't been talking about that as the spring has progressed, as they've played so well. That hasn't been front of mind, because you've gotten a chance to see the talent that's in this system. We're getting some tweets from Gregor Chisholm of MLB.com, who you should follow at GregorMLB if you get the chance. Very good reporter. Obviously, I can't go down and talk to John Farrell post-game because I'm talking to you, which is fantastic. And Gregor tweeting some quotes from Farrell about Adam Lind. And Farrell says, yes, he thinks it is the same as last year. There's tightness in the lower back. He felt like he couldn't get loose during stretch, and then as he was taking batting practice, it didn't free up. Farrell said, this is a situation that will have to be monitored all year. They're going to have to take care of Adam Lind's back, get him time off, get him off the field more often, give him some DH games. and use Edwin Encarnacion at first base a little bit more. So we will keep an eye on it. Alex Anthopoulos said to me he's fine. John Farrell is saying that they're going to shut him down for 3 days and then see what happens. So maybe on Friday we'll see him take batting practice again and perhaps get into some games on the weekend. Phone lines are open, and we're waiting for you to fill them up. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will go to Raj in Brampton. Hello, Raj.
Hey, Mike. How are you today?
I continue to be well, thank you.
Excellent. Just a couple of quick things. First thing is, with Brett Cecil's inability to keep the ball down in the zone and his lack of velocity this year, what do you think the Jays completing a trade for somebody like Jared Juergens, maybe Matt Garza or a Wandy Rodriguez?
If the Jays had wanted Wandy Rodriguez, they could have had him for nothing last year. So I'm not convinced that that they're interested in him. I don't know what you're seeing about Brett Cecil. He hasn't been that bad. I mean, I don't think he's had a real, real problem with keeping the ball down. The velocity's not there, but he's had a good spring. He's only had one bad start. And
yeah,
as
I think
far as
just from the last couple of years, he's had a problem keeping the ball down in the zone.
Well, last year he had a terrible year. There's no question he had a terrible year last year.
Even when he won 17 games, he still had a really high ERA.
No, he didn't. He won 15 games, and he didn't have a really high ERA.
He had a pretty high ERA.
It was about 4.20.
Like over 4, yeah.
Yeah.
Over
for a 23-year-old rookie in the American League East, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. The other thing was
If they can get a Garza without overpaying, sure, they would love to have him. I don't know about Juergens. I don't not like him, but I don't think I like him enough to give up serious talent for him.
But you'd prefer a Garza.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing was I think the Jays' offense is awesome this year, and I think the person that's going to really help us this year is going to be Edwin Encarnacion. If he could play as well as he did last year at the end of the year, right, I think the Jays could go a long way this year.
Yeah, Edwin was a terrific hitter from the end of June on last year. I know he didn't put up the 30 homers and the 100 RBIs that people want to see out of their designated hitter. But, you know, he was very, very good. Until Brett Laurie got there, he was probably the Blue Jays' best hitter in the second half. We're hopeful of good things. We know there's a ton of power in there. We know this is a guy who has been able to get on base a lot in the past. And he's only 28 years old. So the Blue Jays certainly believe there's a lot in there, and that's why he's the DH on a team that they think can be very, very good. It'll be really interesting to watch what Edwin does this year. Appreciate the call. Let's go out to Kitchener and Emmanuel. You're on the Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike, for the call. Just had a question. Just looking at Kershaw, and I saw what he was getting in arbitration. You know, he's still a young guy in there. And do you think we could see Brett Laurie get a deal sort of similar to Evan Longoria, just to lock him up through his controllable years, just so that they're not paying a lot more if he is who we think he's going to be?
I think they're going to try to. I think they're certainly going to try to. It's too late already to do the Longoria thing with him because Evan Longoria signed that deal, I think, on his eighth day in the major leagues.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, the Blue Jays have been very, very aggressive about locking guys up, you know, from Aaron Hill, Adam Lind, even Alex Rios. All these contracts that have been player-friendly and team-friendly for the guys who aren't free agents yet, but they're not going to sign Laurie to a deal that's just going to carry through his arbitration years. And who knows? They're probably talking about it right now. I think that if they can get Brett Laurie to give them a year or two of free agency, they would be interested in signing him, but then that's an 8-year deal, and Paul Beeston doesn't like to do deals longer than 5 years. If you can make them options, then maybe, but who knows if Laurie's inclined to give up options when he's 28, 29, 30 years old. So it'll be an interesting thing to monitor. It might be a difficult contract to get done, though.
Okay. All right, perfect. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I certainly believe they want to lock up Laurie, but I also know that Alex Anthopoulos isn't interested in signing a long-term contract with anybody who is pre-free agency if he doesn't get them to give up some free agent years, at least one free agent year. Craig in North York.
Hey, Mike. I got a question about Yan Gomes. He has been on fire this spring, and I know spring training doesn't mean anything, but is there any chance we're going to see this guy during the regular season?
Yeah, there is. There is. I mean, it's, you know, people were tweeting me today and have been for like a week and a half, is Yan Gomes have a shot to displace Edwin? Or if Adam Lind has to go on the DL, is Yan Gomes going to be the starting catcher or first baseman? Should Yan Gomes make the team instead of Jeff Mathis? It's not going to be like that by any means. But two things have happened this spring. One, Yan Gomes has made one hell of an impression on John Farrell and on the Blue Jays. There's no question about that. And those spring training impressions can go a long way. Just ask Reed Johnson. Also, the Blue Jays are now, originally we believed that the plan in the minors was to have David Cooper and Mike McDade both playing in AAA, splitting at bats between DH and first base. We understand now that McDade is likelier to start back in AA New Hampshire, so that there will be at-bats for Yan Gomes in AAA.
Excellent.
Well, you know, he's been wonderful this spring. It's true.
I agree.
But in the minors, this is a guy who's a 270 hitter with a 330 on base and a little bit of power, so it's not like he's a superstar in waiting. He's a guy having a great spring. Gabe Gross was a guy who had a great spring. A lot of times it doesn't mean that he's going to wind up being a star in the major leagues, but I don't think there's any question that Yan Gomes has opened plenty of eyes in the Blue Jays organization with this spring.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the call. We are taking your calls, and we are also going to take a dip into the Blue Jays clubhouse. And let's listen in as we line up the calls. Our fine producer, Gord Brunt, right there, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Let's listen in on Brett Laurie, who was 2-for-3 today with a double and a triple and a line out in just his second game back after injuring his groin a week and a half ago. So it took you 1-0-for-2 to get right back to where you wanted to be with the a couple of really good swings tonight?
Yeah, I mean, just got a couple good pitches that I could handle and just try to barrel it up, and got lucky tonight. It was good.
Watching you on Sunday, the first game back after the groin thing, it looked like you weren't moving at top speed, maybe because you've been asked to kind of throttle back. But on that triple from like 50 feet before second to 50 feet after second base, you looked like you were in your top gear.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as it off the bat, I thought it was going to be a homer. And then as soon as I started to get on the line, I was like, okay, well, I better get going anyway. So I kind of just took off, and I got up to full speed. And then, you know, just kind of around second base, I still saw the ball wasn't in the air. So I figured I could just put it on cruise control and just cruise into third. And then, but, I mean, it's just one of these things you just kind of got to, you know, kind of build up to 100%. And then, you know, it feels fine. It felt great all game today. It felt great, you know, on Sunday there. And then, you know, it just feels good, and I'm glad to be back.
So you were at 100% running out that triple?
I mean, for a bit of it, for the point that I needed to kind of kick it into gear, and then once I knew that I was going to be safe, I just kind of geared down and just put it on cruise control.
What about the double? It looked to us in the booth, and unfortunately a little embarrassingly for me calling it, that it was gone. Did you know that it wasn't?
It felt good off the bat. It's just anything hit that way today is kind of hard because the wind's blowing straight in. So anything you hit out there, you kind of got to run out and see what happens. So, I mean, it felt good off the bat. I just wasn't sure what was going to happen, and got a ground rule double out of it. It was good.
All right, before I let you go, just about this spring as it continues, if it's a win tonight, it's 24-1, and it's really been an amazing spring. But now things are starting to happen. Adam misses a game with the back. Dustin's got the foot thing. It's not all sunshine and roses like it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he's trying to stay healthy. Everyone's trying to stay healthy right now and just trying to get into the season. And, you know, it is hard, but, you know, we're all working hard to try and stay healthy and just push towards the season. You know, I think both those guys are going to be all right. I know Lindy's kind of back tweaked a little bit. I think I'm not really sure what it is, but you know, hopefully he'll be all right and he'll get back in there because we need him. So
there he is, Brett Laurie, from after the game. His strained groin feels fine, and that's great. And we could see that on that double, on the triple. That is, we saw it. Like I said, 50 feet before second to 50 feet after second base, he was kicked in top gear and he was fine. It is the Jays Talk, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-660-590. Lines are open. Let's go out to Thorold. Roger, you're on the Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. It's really Hello. Great to have you back. It was.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really started to get enthused last year again about the Jays because they were so exciting, and listening to you, it really helps because you've got this great baseball knowledge, and I've learned a lot over the last year.
And, appreciate that.
It's a pleasure having you back. But anyway, I'm here to pick your brain again, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And if Adam Lind, say he's down for a little bit, for a while, hopefully he's not, but my first question would be, who do you think that the Jays would he be the first baseman, or do they have someone else that would play there, and who would be, and if he was going to play there, who would be the DH? And my other question is, if, say, Brett Cecil doesn't come up to snuff, can you see them just moving everybody up the line and having McGowan go up to number four and Drabek be number five?
Well, I don't think those numbers really matter that much. To be honest, it matters about your production beyond the first trip through the rotation of the season. It doesn't matter who's one or who's two or whatever. They're all likely to get the same number of starts over the course of the year or close to it. It's not like, leadoff man versus the nine hitter, where the leadoff man might get 70 or 80 more plate appearances over the course of the year. As far as the questions go, I'm told that Adam Lind is going to be fine and going to be able to answer the bell for opening day, no problem. If it is a short-term injury that requires him to be disabled for a little bit, I don't think they would go with Travis Snyder. I think you might see Ben Francisco DHing if he's healthy, maybe Rajay Davis in left field and Eric Thames DHing for a little bit with Edwin Encarnacion moving to first base. But I do think if the Lind injury is a long-term thing, you'd see Travis Snyder back up. He would play left, Thames would DH, and Encarnacion would move to first. And as far as the pitching rotation thing goes, yeah, I think that Brett Cecil and Kyle Drabek will be pitching for their jobs over the first two or three weeks of the season as Dustin McGowan rehabs from his foot injury. I think the Blue Jays are going to be really, really careful with McGowan. I think that they are going to make 100% sure. And, if he has to stay down another week or two, it's not the end of the world because they wanted to cap his innings anyway, or they wanted to take it easy on his innings anyway. So I do believe that we're going to see the season start with Cecil and Drabek as the four and five, the two bottom pitchers in the rotation. And then when McGowan is healthy, he'll push one of them out. Thank you for the call. We are going to... We're going to step away for a second. When we come back, we will listen in on the man who won the competition for left field, Eric Thames. We all have been writing about Travis Snyder, haven't gotten a chance to talk to him yet, but Eric Thames hasn't gotten that much love, and he's going to be the starting left fielder. We'll hear from him when we come back. Phone lines remain open. The Blue Jays took care of the Yankees 4-3 for their eighth straight win. They're 20-4-1 this spring. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network.
I'm Andrew Dye. The Maple Leafs have been eliminated from playoff contention thanks to a 3-0 loss to the Hurricanes. Jussi Jokinen scored the first period winner. Jussi Runas replaced Jonas Gustafsson early in the second. He stopped all 10 shots he faced in his NHL debut. Other finals, Devils beat the Blackhawks 2-1 in a shootout. Sabres down the Capitals 5-1. And despite putting 54 shots on net, the Penguins fell 5-3 to the Islanders. And Jared Bayless is likely done for the season. The Raptors guard has a partially torn left oblique muscle. Now back to Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's the Honda Daily Spring News. Today's top story, the CR-V is Canada's best-selling SUV. The efficiency will make you feel smart. The Made in Ontario label will make you feel proud. Lease your 2012 Honda CR-V LX with heated front seats, a rear-view camera, Bluetooth, and more. Only $298 per month for 48 months at 3.99% APR, $3,400 down, and zero security deposit. See your proud Ontario Honda dealer today. Payment includes freight and fees, taxes, extra OAC. For details, see newspaper or HondaOntario.com.
You are one busy lady. You've got kids to pick up and glass ceilings to shatter. You juggle your family and your career like a gold glove shortstop. But it's hard to wear the pants in the family and the dress and the apron. That's why you come home with 44th Street fresh, fully cooked entrees, like their Maplewood naturally smoked, slow-cooked back ribs available at Metro and Sobeys. Get her done with 44th Street fresh, fully cooked entrees. Fine dining for a fast-paced world.
On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Jays Talk. I'm Mike Wilner. The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 4-3. They have won 8 in a row. They are 20-4-1. I know if I say 24-1, it makes people think they've won 24 games and lost one. They have 20 wins, 4 losses, and a tie in the spring so far. And Sunday, after their game, they decided that Eric Thames was going to be the left fielder, that he had won the battle with Travis Snyder. Snyder sent down to the minor league camp. He will be the left fielder in AAA Las Vegas to start the season. I spoke to Thames before the game today. Eric, we've been talking nonstop Dustin McGowan for the last 3 days, but it's time to talk about left field a little bit, because the little note that came in Sunday after the game was that the left field job is yours. You've come to spring training, you've attacked it, you've done a wonderful job so far, and we've talked about this before, but now that you're going to be the left fielder on opening day, how does it feel?
You know, it feels great that, you know, I can be a part of this team and help them, help this team on this playoff push this year. But it was a tough spring. You know, it was my first time in my career I've dealt with a competition like this, and Travis Snyder is a great ball player. And you know, what surprised me the most was how him and I continued, you know, our friendship throughout the whole thing, and we weren't enemies. We weren't, like, wishing each other ill the whole time. It was okay. We were both rooting each other on. And I think that it just shows the dynamic this team has, you know, and just everybody's rooting for each other.
Did they talk to you at all? Alex and John talked to you in the last couple of days since the move was made?
Yeah. I mean, they let me know what happened. You know, pretty much, you know, hey, it's yours. Good luck. And, you know, let's have a good season. And I said, all right, let's go.
I like the way that you use the words playoff push, and Blue Jay fans are going to like that too. It really does seem like this 19-4 thing is rubbing off on a lot of people, and the sense of optimism around this team is legit.
Yeah. I mean, we've had an incredible spring, and it's not only due to, you know, the guys in the big league lineup, but a lot of the farm hands that came and filled in. I mean, we have a great farm system, and, you know, these guys rake. You know, Anthony Goes did a great job, Yan Gomes, just name a few. And, you know, it just shows how much depth we have. And, you know, if a guy does go down, that, you know, we have somebody to fill in that can do the job.
How excited are you about getting out on the line on opening day and being introduced?
You know, it's the first time in my life to ever experience something like that. But, and I heard, you know, Toronto on opening night is always crazy. The roof closed and towels and everything. So it's very exciting. You know, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also looking forward to competing and doing my job.
All right, well, congratulations, Eric. You've had a terrific spring, and you definitely earned this shot. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
There he is, Eric Thames, who has had a terrific spring and has definitely earned a shot as the Blue Jays left fielder. He was the leader coming into the competition by virtue of the fact that, well, he was a left fielder at the end of last year, and he won the job by having a terrific spring. Travis Snyder, terrific spring too. There's no question. Travis Snyder and Eric Thames have been two of the Blue Jays' 3 best hitters this spring, and it's just unfortunate that they were competing for the same position. That's going to do it for us along the network. Stay tuned on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, as the Jays talk will continue until 11 o'clock. We are next on the air on Saturday, the Blue Jays and the Phillies in Clearwater. We will be on at 12:30 Eastern Time for a 1:05 first pitch. Make sure you tune us in there. Make sure you follow me on the Twitter at Wilderness590, and I'll keep you up to date on everything else going on with the Blue Jays over the course of the rest of the week and pretty much the rest of forever. You've been listening to Toronto Blue Jays Spring Training Baseball Action. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Joe Sicilia, and Gord Brunt, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Tampa.
team on your station. Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on your team on your station. Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
And he's swinging on the first pitch. Big bouncer over the head of Alex Rodriguez into left field. That's a base hit. It is bobbled by Maxwell. So Brett Laurie can just trot home. And the Blue Jays lead it 3-0 on the RBI single by Colby Rasmus. And I got to say, I'm having a much better year on the play-by-play microphone this spring than I had last year. The Blue Jays have outscored their opponents now 16-2 in the innings that I've gotten a call. Four more on Saturday and Sunday, but we don't have to talk about last year. We are Jays Talking It Up, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will take a few more dips into the clubhouse as we take the Jays talk right up until 11 o'clock Eastern time, but we'll take your phone calls as well, and we will go out to Hamilton. Bruce, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call, Mike.
Well, thank you for calling.
I'm just posing a question because I heard, I'm not sure it was you, but somebody else mentioned over the last couple of weeks that knuckleballers are just, they're not, with Wakefield retiring, they're not being there. But with Brett Cecil not getting his speed up, what's the thought about putting Cecil back in AAA and learning knuckleball?
There is no thought about that.
His lifespan would go forever.
No thought about that at all. That is a last ditch. If you're about to flame out of your professional baseball career and there's nothing else you can do, then you try to learn a knuckleball, and 95% of the people who do it can't do it.
Yeah, so, but if you do it as a left-hander, you get locked up.
Right. No, it's not going to happen. Brett Cecil has enough stuff to pitch in the major leagues. I understand that people have huge questions about him and, you know, think that he's this awful, awful pitcher. He's not.
Well, I don't think he's an awful pitcher. I'm
glad.
His speed down, so that's fine.
Yes, his speed's down, but he's still throwing 87-88. And there are a lot of guys who've had very successful major league careers, especially left-handers, at 87 or 88. Jamie Moyer might make the Colorado Rockies this year at 80-81.
Yes.
So, if Brett Cecil needs to find his command, needs to stay down in the zone, and needs to change speeds effectively, he doesn't need to learn a knuckleball. It would be cool to watch, though. I'll give you that.
That's what I was saying. I thought it would be fantastic.
It will be fantastic, but I think it would mess with his career. I'd prefer, you know, you or me learning a knuckleball and seeing if we can do it.
Yeah, but at my age, I couldn't. I throw a knuckleball and be at 25.
That might work. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate the call. Let's go out to Vancouver and welcome Steve to the Jays Talk.
Mike, first I got to say hello to Russ in Jersey, my man. Met him at the Jays series last year. The guy's a walking encyclopedia. He is.
Haven't heard from him all spring. He hasn't called in once yet this spring.
He's emailed me. Love the guy. Anyway, I've disagreed with you so many times on Overbait, but I got to say what? Rasmus going to be massive this year. I even like Johnson. I think those guys are just about to break loose. I don't understand where the hate is. Everybody I talk to love those guys out on this side. I just think Rasmus is poised to just get busy. I'm loving those pickups. The only thing I'm not a big fan of is Oliver coming in. I watched too many Rangers games last year. Maybe it was just the ones I watched where he got lit up badly. But
it must have been because he had great numbers.
He had great numbers, but the games I watched, I know there was a couple World Series games where he scared me. But
yeah, he did not pitch well in the playoffs. So maybe when Oliver comes in, don't watch and he'll be fine.
Oh, well, that's good. I will do that, and hopefully you're not calling it at that point. So, but, I'm just excited. Can't wait for the Jays to get in Seattle end of July. We'll be there, and I think looking forward to a big season. We got a shot. We really got a shot at a wild card, if not the division. I got to agree with you. If two of those three guys can man up, we got a shot.
I don't know.
So,
I wouldn't say man up.
And I agree with you. This makes it special.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. There were a lot of people who disagreed with me about Lyle Overbay, and it's too bad what that broken hand did to him. And it is too bad. But I really do believe that Colby Rasmus and Kelly Johnson are both going to have huge seasons. for the Blue Jays this year. Huge. And all the people who are shaking their heads and rolling their eyes listening to me say that, just you wait. And call me in July, and we'll see how they're doing. Jim is in Toronto. Jim, you're on the Extendo Jays Talk.
What a pleasure. I am...
Pleasure is mine.
I am taking my optimism to the extremes here, and not only am I going to hope that they make the playoffs this year, but I'm going to look at personal awards, too. I was hoping that Brett Laurie would be still rookie eligible, but your producer let me know that he is one at-bat over the limit, which is terrible.
Not one at-bat over the limit. He's about 20 at-bats over the limit, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me see. Okay, I thought he was bang on 150. Pardon me.
Well, yeah, right. I think he is bang on 150, but it's 130.
Oh.
So he's 20 at-bats over the limit.
Okay, well then. I'm less disappointed about that then. So the other award I'm looking at is Jose Bautista in the MVP. Now, of course, he's got to play the season and have another terrific season, which is not, you know, it's easier said than done, of course. But let's assume for the moment that he does have another terrific season similar to the last two that he's had. Will there be any other... I mean, what will be the conditions for him to be seriously considered this time around? He should have been seriously considered the last couple of times.
He should have won the last two MVPs, period.
He
shouldn't have been seriously considered. He should have been the MVP the last 2 years. So if he has the same year again, should be the MVP again.
So will the conversation change? Will the writers change their minds?
Absolutely. If the Blue Jays are in the race. The only reason that Jose Bautista has been overlooked the last 2 years is because there's still a large group of MVP voters that believe that you can't be an MVP if your team isn't in contention for a playoff spot. And to me, that makes the award the MVT. It's not most valuable player, it's most valuable teammates. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not Jose Bautista's fault that he had to play with Jason Nix and Corey Patterson and Juan Rivera and you know, JoJo
Reyes. Because by the definition of the title of the award, he is absolutely the most valuable player. And you might even argue that he would be less so this year because all the talent around him has grown and matured and gotten better.
I agree with you. I agree with you. You're right. And I think it's ridiculous that that's how the MVP is decided. But that's how the MVP is decided. So,
hey, they picked a pitcher last year, so who knows?
Which was also equally.
Yeah, I know. We agree on that, too. That's what I mentioned.
Yeah. But if he has the same sort of year, and, you know, 2010 and 2011 for Jose Bautista were similar, but they weren't really the same sort of year. He was much better last year than he was in 2010, but they were both great years. If he has another great year, if he leads the major leagues in home runs again, if he's right up there and leads the big leagues in OPS, right up there in slugging and on base, maybe he doesn't even have to be that dominating, but if he has another great year and the Blue Jays are in the race, he will be the MVP.
Well, let's hope the Orioles don't have a surge, eh?
Oh, yeah. Well, to get to 70 wins, I don't think you need to worry about that.
Thanks a lot,
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Phone lines remain open. Something's going on in Tampa. The sirens, the fire engines are heading north on Dale Mabry. So now they've turned left on MLK. So they're now heading west on Martin Luther King. I don't know where they're going. Hopefully it's not here. but we shall see. So you're going to want to avoid the Dale Mabry MLK area if you're listening while commuting in Tampa. We are Jays Talking It Up, and we have a minute until the break. So I'm not going to take another caller because it's not fair to that other caller. We'll wait till after the break. We'll also take a dip into the clubhouse on the other side. We will hear from Kelly Johnson. We'll hear a little bit from the Dustin McGowan news conference today. That was also the other news, and it's kind of old already because so much has happened since about 32 hours ago, when the Blue Jays announced that Dustin McGowan has signed a two-year extension with an option. It kicks in next year. He makes $1.5 million in 2013, $1.5 million in 2014, and the Jays have an option for 2015 at $4 million with a $500,000 buyout. We'll hear from Alex and Anthopoulos and Dustin McGowan talked today to the media. We'll hear a little bit of that. We'll take more of your phone calls. Blue Jays take down the Yankees 4-3 to improve to 20-4-1 on the spring. The Extendo Jays talk continues after Andrew Nye's update on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Now, a 2020 update on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This is Ricky Romero of the Toronto Blue Jays, and you're listening to Blue Jays Baseball.
On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sutton grounds one up the middle. That's a base hit into center field. Around third, heading home, Martin. Kobe Rasmus' throw hits the top of the mound to slide the tag. He's out at home plate.
That's how the second inning ended, with Kobe Rasmus throwing out Russ Martin at the plate. That's the closest the Yankees came to scoring off of Kyle Drabek tonight. Five shutout innings as the Jays beat the New York Yankees 4-3. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. And let's get right back to it. Charles in Brampton, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mike, for taking my call. Love the show. I was wondering,
thank you.
Now that the Jays acquired Kobe Rasmus, what's the direction with Anthony Goeth and Jake Marisnyk coming up to the majors?
We are ways away from having to worry about that.
Well, they're in AAA now. I was wondering.
No, Marisnyk's not in AAA.
What?
Marisnyk's in A-ball.
I mean,
I don't know if
Anthony
he's even
going to
start season double.
His,
yeah.
What's the direction for the future? And one other quick question. I was reading Sports Illustrated's preview for Major League Baseball, and they write that Albert Pujols is the most accomplished hitter in Major League history. I tend to agree, but I was wondering what you have to say, and I'll hang up.
Most accomplished hitter? They said he's the most accomplished hitter in Major League history?
For the first 11 seasons.
Oh, over the first 11 seasons of his career. Yeah, that's fair.
Well,
I'll agree with that. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, well, where do you see Ghost in the future of the Jays now with Rasmus in the fold? Thank you.
I think that Anthony Ghost is a guy who they see as center fielder of the future. A guy who they see as an incredible athlete with fantastic tools, and they want him to be a better hitter. He's just a kid. He's only 21, I think. And they're waiting for him to progress to the point where he's ready to play in the major leagues. And I think that it's very easy to get excited about young players on their way up, and it's equally easy to forget how long it takes. And again, Ghost is 21. Now look at all the people who don't think Kobe Rasmus can play. And Kobe Rasmus was a way better prospect than Anthony Gose at 21. And Colby Rasmus has already had success in the major leagues. Look at Travis Snyder. He made the major leagues at 20 and has been fighting ever since to stick around. It takes a long time. I don't think that the Blue Jays are counting on Anthony Gose as a starter in the major leagues probably for at least another 2 years. A productive starter in the major leagues, someone who can be here and not hit ninth for at least 2 years. Now, he may move that timetable up. There's no question about it. But he's certainly not at the point yet where he's pushing Colby Rasmus for a job. Paul in Brampton, welcome to the Extendo Jays Talk.
Hey, how's it going? Two beefs I got here. The first one, Brett Lowry. Huge expectations from Brett Lowry this year.
Yes.
I'm in pools. I got Brett Lowry going 25-25. This guy's still pretty young. Yeah, he had a good breakout campaign when they called him up, but do you realistically expect him to do this kind of damage? I mean, like, the big expectations, especially from Jays fans, like, and especially
huge
from Toronto.
Huge expectations. Yeah.
What's that?
They're huge expectations.
Oh, massive. Like, yeah, Toronto wants someone. Now that you got Bautista, but, like, I don't realistically see this happening right now. Just, I'm a huge Lowry fan, but
you know what?
A lot of weight on this guy.
Yeah, they are. And so far, he's earned it. It's very strange because I try my best to be voice of reason and realistic. And, you know, I think the odds are longer that Brett Lowry's going to have a tough time this year than that he's going to put up the same MVP numbers that he put up last year. But just watching him, mm-hmm. he makes you believe that he's going to be fine. And I think he's going to lead the team in stolen bases. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to hit 20 homers in his sleep. I think he may wind up breaking the team record for triples this year. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to pull back for me on Brett Lowry. I think that the expectations are through the roof because he's set them that way and because he's that good.
But then how does Jays Nation react if he has a down year? Like, obviously we had the situation when Lind and Aaron Hill went off for a year.
Well, but
and
those
then
were
the next
horrible
year,
years.
They just tanked it.
Right. Those
and
were they
just,
they had
just were
awful
all over
years.
These guys.
Yeah, and I think if Brett Lowry hits 220, I think people will be all over him too.
And that's not fair, considering that he's young and he's got so much upside.
No, but that's the way fans are, and there's nothing you can do to change that. Nothing at all. And it is too bad, and you're absolutely right. But that's the way it's going to be, I think, from now on. Because, you know, people now expect more, think they know more, and mm-hmm. want more. And it's unfortunate, but patience is no longer even on the table as far as fan base.
And Colby Rasmus, I know you're a huge fan here, and I like the guy. He's okay in my eyes. He had one good year in the St. Louis Cardinals organization, but
he had
now
one
I look
great
at him.
Year.
He's 322
one good year,
OBP.
One great year. Yes.
He's
25 years old. He's 25 years old.
But
you can't attach a butt to that. That's the thing, and that's what people overlook. And you know, when you say he had one good year. He hit 276 with a 360 on base and a 500 slugging as a 23-year-old. That's mm-hmm. not a good year. That's an unbelievable year. And that age really has to be considered. You know, it's amazing that he did that at that age. And that's one of the reasons that I and one of the reasons that the Blue Jays have so much faith in this guy.
Yeah, that's
and
fine.
A
322
career on base is a tiny little bit below the major league average. And again, this is a 25-year-old who has had a really hard time hitting left-handed pitchers for the most part.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons to be excited about this guy.
I'd also like him to cut down his strikeouts as well.
Well, who wouldn't, right? We want everybody to cut down their strikeouts. But if you get a on base, if you have a 360 on base, I don't care how much you strike out.
That's true. But that was that 1 year. Like you said, he is young, yes.
He was
23. I still got to be convinced.
Okay, well, and that's fine. And you should. You should be you should be like that, and everybody should. And I appreciate the call a lot, Paul. There's no reason for anybody to think, yes, Colby Rasmus, five-hitter, no problem. But there's also no reason to think Colby Rasmus sucks and he's going to hit 170 and he's going to lose his job by the middle of April. Let's duck down into the clubhouse. Can we do that? Tom Young is our fantastic engineer. He wants to know who I want to play because I haven't told him yet. I'm inclined to say surprise me, but I do have an idea in my head. Kelly Johnson, the leadoff man today, 2 for 3, triple to lead off the game, RBI single in the third inning, and it looks as though the Blue Jays are getting set to use Kelly Johnson as their leadoff man this season with Yunel Escobar hitting second. And just discussing Colby Rasmus with that last caller, it seems like the Kelly Johnson fan club is about as big as the Colby Rasmus fan club among Blue Jays fans, which is horrendously unfair. Very, very good offensive second baseman. This is my conversation with him in about the seventh inning today.
Kelly in the leadoff spot again, and a couple of really nice hits off of one of the toughest lefties in the game. Tell me what it was like.
Again, it's still spring training, but everything feels good. And as we get closer, you know, you want to be, you know, ready to go, and you want to be just, you know, where you can't wait for spring to be over. And I kind of feel that way. So, you know, I'm glad I'm feeling good about where I'm at.
We've never seen you before in a spring training, so we don't know how it usually goes for you. Do you one of those guys who in the last week tries to get really locked in, or how does it work?
I just think that obviously the hits are going to come when they come, but I want to be, you know, I want to feel as locked in as possible, you know, as fast as possible. You know, I don't think that you can just flip a switch and be locked in, you know, the last week or, you know, April 1st or whatever, but you know, I'm glad that, you know, I was able to get in some really good work when I got here, and you know, feel really good about where I'm at now, and that's a huge step, because confidence obviously is very important.
Sabathia is one of the tough lefties in this division that the Blue Jays see a lot of. We're not used to seeing left-handed hitters get too many hits off of him, but looking at your splits in the past, you've had some years where you're actually better against lefties than righties.
Yeah, no, and it's just one of those things. I just feel real comfortable against lefties usually, and, you know, just like to stay that way, and then hopefully, you know, just continue to be an all-around, you know, hitter. I mean, you got to hit righties and lefties if you want to play every day. So just want to continue to do well there. And if I can do that, then, you know, I'm where I want to be. Because if I'm hitting the lefties well, it usually means I'm feeling pretty good all the way around. So hopefully we'll just keep that trend.
And just the leadoff thing and how that sits with you. Your guy's always gotten on base, but you got power, but you steal bases as well.
Yeah, working on it. I mean, it's a work in progress, but, you know, I think I'm making improvements, and, you know, I'm willing to learn and to make that step, to be a better base stealer and a better base runner. So, you know, got to get on base first, and then you got to get those opportunities. Sometimes there's a long gap in those opportunities. You know, that's just the way the game is. But you got to take advantage when they're there, and you got to take advantage when they're giving it to you.
There he is, Kelly Johnson, Blue Jays leadoff man, it looks like, and second baseman. Johnson has a 16-steal season in his rearview mirror. That was last year. 16 stolen bases, was caught 6 times. 13-7 the year before. For his career, he is stealing at 68%, which is right about where you need to be. 58 stolen bases, 27 times caught stealing in his 6 years in the big league. So we will get to another couple of your calls, but I did promise to listen in on the news conference from this morning about Dustin McGowan's contract extension. Let's hear first from Alex Anthopoulos, who has made a huge commitment in his career to looking at character in players. He spoke about it effusively when he signed Jose Bautista to that extension, and he spoke about it again today.
I mean, I'd be lying through my teeth if I said there isn't a risk. Of course there's health concerns. Of course there's risk. That's just the reality of what he's gone through. But at the same time, and I said this, I find I've learned as an assistant GM and even going into the GM, the one thing I think I'll put my head on the pillow on as we do more of these is the person that we invest in. I know I say it. I know it sounds corny or cliche, but I believe in it more and more each year. If you give the money to the right human being, and obviously you have to have ability, so the ability speaks for itself, but if the person, and you believe in the person, most times you're going to be right more than you're wrong. And it's whether you're a little high on the money, a little low, at the end of the day, the mistakes I find we've made as an organization is we may have just not done an evaluation of the human being first and foremost. So whatever happens from here forward, It's not going to be because he isn't going to work. It's not going to be because he's not going to be a tremendous teammate. It's not going to be because he's not going to lead by example. He's going to do everything how we want it to be. And now you start lining up in the rotation with the Romero, Amoro, and McGowan. They all have great ability, but the way they carry themselves, the way they handle themselves, the way they go about it day in and day out, for all the young kids that continue to come, we've now set up really a formula and a module for this is how it's going to be done, and these guys are going to impact everyone else.
There's Alex Anthopoulos on Dustin McGowan, who signed a two-year extension with a third-year option worth a guaranteed $3.5 million, $1.5 million in 2013, $1.5 million in 2014, and a $4 million option for the club in 2015 with a $500,000 buyout. Let's hear from the man himself, Dustin McGowan.
Toronto's where I wanted to be, and it's the only place I've ever been, and the organization stuck by me the whole time, and you know, I've been grateful for that, and I wanted to continue it here. Anytime you get something done like this, I mean, it's just another thought in your mind that you don't have to think about. You know, do I think about going out and performing just to get a contract next year? You know, this eliminates all that. It, you know, it gives me a little bit of security and gives me a chance just to focus on pitching. I mean, anytime you're guaranteed money, you want to take it. I mean, no matter what, probably the deal is. They were very loyal to me, so I got to be loyal too. I mean, it works both ways. And, you know, it's one of those things where I had to sit down with my wife and we talked about it. And at the end of the day, it was when I lay my head down to sleep at night, you know, there's no regrets whatsoever. You know, if I go out and have two or three great years and people may say, oh, well, you signed for it wasn't enough. Well, to me, it doesn't matter. You know, it's I made the deal and I'm going to stick to the deal and. In my mind, I made the right deal.
Dustin, how's your foot today?
It's all right. I mean, it's just a foot, so I'm not really worried about it. You know, it doesn't put right. Yeah, so you know, it's getting better, and I'm sure it continue to get better. Take another day off just to let it rest up. Who knows? It'll probably be another day or two, and we'll see from there.
It's just a foot. I love it. And he's right. You know what? After all he's gone through, two shoulder surgeries, Tommy John, and a knee surgery as well, it's just a foot. He'll be fine. But he probably will still start the season on the disabled list, I think. No one's told me anything. I think. See if we can sneak in a call or two on the Extendo Jays Talk. Ben is in Brampton. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Mike. Love your work.
Thank you. And I love yours.
I got a chance to catch a couple of games with Dunedin this year, and one of the games was against Boston. And I was sitting next to a couple of Boston hardcore fans, and Heckberry was playing, and they were just loving him. They're asking a bunch of questions. This guy is shortstop of the future. He was playing absolutely stunning. He was making it look so flawless, and like his throw was so effortless. Hit a couple of great hits, too. And I guess my question was, it'd be great to see him in the Jays uniform for a long term, but I was thinking, I think he's got a four-year contract, and this year, say he's in the minors, that'll be 3 years. So does that mean that if we get 1 year out of him, he could just walk away?
No, not at all. No. They signed him to a four-year contract when he came out of Cuba, but he still has to be under the same auspices of the collective bargaining agreement as everybody else. And so that means that the Blue Jays still control him for 6 years once he gets to the major leagues. The guaranteed money is gone after the fourth year. He has four options, so they have an option on him for next year too, though I think he'll probably play in the major leagues at some point this season. But once the 4 years are over, it rolls into the regular major league contract. So Adani Echevarria is still under control by the Blue Jays for until he reaches 6 years of major league service.
That's great news. I'm really looking forward to seeing this guy in Jays uniform for a bit.
Me too. Spectacular defender. And he's just got to get that bat to come around, and the Blue Jays are very, very, very impressed with how that bat has come around at the end of the year in Vegas. And what they've seen so far in spring training, he has been terrific. I think he had two hits yesterday in the minor league game. One of them was a triple, and he played fantastic defense at second base. I was talking to Tony LaCava today, Jay's assistant GM, who was just raving about him. Thanks so much for all the calls. Good long Extendo Jays Talk. It was great. I look forward to many more of them in the regular season. Next chance we have maybe Saturday, Jays at Phillies in Clearwater. We will be on the air at 12:30 Eastern Time for a 105 first pitch. Please join us then. Thanks to Tom Young, Joe Sicilia, Gord Brunt, and thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Tampa.